I like that last song that Nathan led us. And I trust we can have that be still my soul, even as it keeps snowing outside. And I think it's a beautiful snow. I told Bev sometime this weekend, not sure when it was, seems like there are just a lot of distractions in this message, and I don't know why. It just constantly. And now this morning I feel like it's another distraction, so I don't know if, once you get into the message, maybe I'll understand more. Ephesians 6, starting with verse 10. Putting on the armor of God. There's a lot of nuggets in Ephesians that Paul is addressing. Like things that kind of stood out to me was accepted in the beloved, adopted in the family of God, warning about being deceived, encouraging us to walk worthy of our vocation, being humble, being kind, forgiving, and then ending up with what I shared last time is husband-wife relationships, parents-child relationship, and then he also goes on with a master-servant relationship. Then he says in verse 10, finally, my brethren, can I see that he's kind of summing all this up. He says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Be strong in the Lord. In the power of his might. And if you look at that, it says he's really saying here, be strong and be empowered in the power of his might. Be empowered by God. So it's like a toy. A toy, you have batteries and you turn it on and it goes, and you know, we know over extended time that gradually the toy gets slower and it don't work so good. And then we put new batteries in it and we have new life. And that gives the idea to us. Let God be your power. Be empowered with God. And we know that with God's power, there will be no running out of power. No changing of the batteries. His power is strong because of who God is. So Paul here is saying, be empowered with the power of God. So what is the power of God? There's no limit. There's no end to the power of God. And I think we all realize that of who God is. Colossians 1:11. It says, strengthen with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience, long-suffering with joyfulness. So we are encouraged here to walk our daily walk, our daily lives, and remember he's talking to us as Christians, not to the people of the world, because the people of the world can't be empowered by God unless they accept Christ as their Savior. Verse 11, it says, put on the whole armor of God. And it's interesting that he says the whole armor and not put on the armor of God. So it must be possible that we can put on part of it and not be totally accurate. So why do we put this armor on? It's because of the being able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The devil is real, and I think we all understand that. He is not bound up. He is on the loose. He is deceiving and manipulating the people of this world, and I think we all realize that. And he does it in all kinds of manner, forms, religious forms. I think the Muslim religion is his religion. He does it as a lamb. He does it as a wolf in sheep's clothing. But he's out to deceive us, to trick us in all ways that he can. And he will accomplish if we don't have on the armor of God. And I think sometimes we don't fully understand everything that's going on. It's just like Job didn't fully understand. Because of verse 12, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood." You know, the wrestling that we have today isn't so much of people. Now, I know that there are some relationship problems that wear a person down, but the real struggle and the battle within our soul comes from somewhere than flesh and blood. But it's against principalities, it's against powers, it's against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. When we become a Christian, we are translated into God's kingdom. So Satan is doing all he can to take you back into your life that you were. He wants to win you back. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, you know, how do we win battles? And all of us know that if you go back in history, a lot of the battles were won by what used to be swords and arrows, and then it was won by guns, and now they can win battles with hardly sending an army in. 2 Corinthians 10:4 says, "For the weapons of our warfare isn't carnal." So in other words, we don't use swords and guns and tanks and those kind of things. We don't use the carnal things, but our weapons are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And that's what I want to share, is putting on the armor of God. If we look at the armor of God, and you'll see that starting with verse 13, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand in the evil day." I got the wrong verse, I think, here. Verse 14. "Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth." And if we would look at a Roman soldier, and I think Paul here was using the type of the weaponry that they had of that day, and he use that as an analogy of God's weapon. So he says, "Gird up your loins with truth." And a lot of the men would wear tunics back then, and they still do. If you go over to India, around their home, they would actually wear the tunics. But then they were supposed to gird, and that was to wrap, somehow they wrapped it around, and then they put this belt around, and that held everything in place. And he's illustrating this as truth. And so you would kind of say, truth kind of holds everything together. And you have to know and understand the truth. In John 1:17, it says, grace and truth came only by Jesus. So when we look around the world, truth can appear true, but if it's not centered around Christ, it's not true. So we have to believe and we have to know Jesus' teaching to know what is truth. So we need to gird ourselves. We need to hold our weaponry together, our breastplate and our tunic and so on, and be and have the word of truth and go into this battle of truth. John 8:31, he talks about truth only being through Christ. And then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And that's how it is with Christ. If we know, if we're in Christ, and we understand who Christ is, and we are keeping Christ's commandments, then we're going to know what truth is. And that truth is going to free us from all bondage that we have in the world. Then he says, put on the breastplate of righteousness. And we all know what the breastplate was, this armor that you would put around the chest and to protect the vital organs, the organs that you have in your chest. And it was very important for the day of the battle. He says, put on righteousness. So what is righteousness? Somewhere I got lost in my notes here. Righteousness is integrity and right standing with God. So put on integrity. Put on relationship with God. Put on honesty. Put on humility. Put on doing what's right. Seeking God. Seeking His holiness. His righteousness. He says, put that on. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And so we can live that, we can live that righteous life in him through Christ. If you look at in the Amplified Bible, I like the way it was said, for our sake he made Christ virtually to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in and through him we might become endued with, viewed as being in and examples of the righteousness of God. And we are, you know, our lives, our righteous lives should represent Christ and who he is. Then he talks about in verse 15, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And this feet shod was to wear shoes, wear like sandals, cover your feet. And I would say that was probably a valuable thing when you're in the midst of swords and arrows and things like that, is to have your feet covered. But he says, with preparation of the peace, grounded in what you believe, walking in obedience to the word, always being ready to do as God leads in your life. So be grounded. Be ready to go. And this is probably what I'm going to say is not too popular with us. But be willing to serve God in wherever he calls you. If he brings someone in your life, talk to him about Christ. It should be easy if our feet are shod. We're prepared. We're ready to go to preach peace. If he asks us to go on the mission field, go. Be prepared. Be ready. You shouldn't have to beg. And if he calls you to teach Sunday school, teach. Be ready. Be prepared. And then he says, take the shield of faith. And we all know the shield is this thing that you would actually would hold up. It depends on which, if you're left-handed or right-handed, but you would have a sword in one hand and a shield. And this shield was very important in shielding off blows of whatever was incoming. Faith. Faith is an excellent part of understanding and knowing who God is. It's a vital part of our Christian walk. You know, if we don't totally believe that Jesus is Christ, we won't have the complete armor of God. Because, and which where I'm going to get into here in a little bit, the incomings of Satan's fiery darts can disrupt us if we're not fully grounded and firm in our faith that Jesus is Lord and I'm willing to serve him and allowing him to control my life. In 1 John 4 and 5, it talks about if you want to overcome the world, you got to have faith. In our daily lives, we only have to know that Jesus is Lord. In our daily lives, we have to know that Jesus is Lord. He is not one of many ways to God. He is the only way. And then the helmet of salvation. And salvation is part of being saved is part of the armor, and that's necessary. You know, you can believe and you can have faith, but you have to commit your life to Christ. And of course, we all know that the helmet is part of the head. And I think it's a vital part of the weaponry back then. Because of what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. But I fear lest by any means, as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. And I think a lot of battles in our hearts are won in our minds. Won or lost in our minds. As Satan deceived Eve, and he did in a very subtle way, and so also does he do it to us. And then he says, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And I thought that was interesting. You're not taking your sword, but you're taking the sword of the Spirit. You're empowered by God. So God gives you the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God in your hands. And that's how Jesus won his battle with Satan, was quoting scripture. Is the word of God important to you? Do you feel a need to read? Do you feel a need to memorize verses? In Psalms 119, verse 11, says, the word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. The word that I've hid in my heart, And then in Hebrews 4, it talks about the sword is sharper than any two-edged sword, which can divide the spirit and the soul, talking about in the end, and where the spirit leaves the body. And this the sword is sharper than any two-edged sword and can do that. And then he ends with prayer. And prayer is not necessarily part of the armor, but prayer is a very vital part of your weaponry in fighting against Satan. So Paul used the analogy of the Roman armor to compare us with our battle in the Christian life. So how do these things fit together to us today? You know, we talked about the having our belt of truth. So let's look at it. Let's have truth. Let's have righteousness. Let's have faith. Let's have salvation. And let's have the Word of God. If you have those five things in your life, you will win. Can you separate the two? Or can you separate the five? You know, can you not have faith and have all the rest? So, well, it's almost impossible. Can you maybe not have truth and have all the rest? He says, take on the whole armor of God. So if we try to take on part of it, the rest isn't going to be effective. You might as well not put on any of it. You know, if we don't have a righteous life, what does faith have to do with it? What's salvation have to do with it if we don't have faith? What does the sword, the Word of God, have anything to do if we don't know who He is? So we're in the battle today, and you have a choice. We kind of have an idea who Satan is. Which would you prefer? Would you prefer going up against Satan with the breastplate on, a sword, a shield, helmet, belt, shoes on? Would you prefer that? If I would say, let's go in the battle, and I'm just going to go with faith, and I'm going to go with righteousness, does that seem comfortable to you to go to battle with? But how often do we choose that? We're going to do it on our own. You know, I'm struggling, but I don't need help. I'm going to do it myself. I've committed. I made a New Year's resolution. I'm going to conquer this thing in my life. How long does that last? We've got to put on the armor of God to be able to be victorious. But so often we try to do it on our own. We try to win the battles with our righteousness, and it just doesn't work. So what are these fiery darts that Satan throws at us? So far, I've never walked through life and all of a sudden seen a fiery thing coming at me. And I had to dodge it, and miraculously it missed me. So what are these fiery darts that he's talking about? These trickery things. Remember, our mind, it seems, is where Satan likes to work with, and that the mind is a valuable part of who we are. Are you really saved? Could be a fiery dart. Have you ever thought of that? Am I really saved? You know, when I look at what's going on in my life, am I really a Christian? Or maybe a thought is, I'm not good enough to be a Christian. It's too much. I just can't. I can't win the battles. I'm just not good enough. You could never live up to the expectation God has given for you. I can't measure up to this righteousness and holiness, so let's just forget it. Have you ever thought of that? There's just too many rules. We're just living in bondage. You know, if you've served me, there is no rules. There is no bondage. Nobody cares about you. So what's the need? You know, you go to church and nobody is your friend. Nobody cares about you. I have no friends. I don't fit into the church. So Satan says, why go? You're weird. Just see how you're different from everybody else. You know, you go to school and you're just weird. You go to work and you're weird. You don't have TV. Well, that's strange. You never drank? No. You're weird. God can't forgive you for what you have done. Has God ever mentioned anything that he can't forgive you? You know, maybe the thought goes, well, I've committed the unpardonable sin, so I can't be a Christian. I can't be saved. That's not true. That's a fiery dart from Satan, I think, penetrating into our minds. You're not being effective in your ministry to anyone. You know, it seems like I'm on the mission field and nobody's becoming saved. I teach Sunday school and it seems like people aren't changing their lives. We preach the gospel, we don't see any change. That's because you're not effective. You don't have the gift. Those thoughts are coming into your mind, and Satan will try to make you quit. And I'm sure there are times where you say, well, just forget it. Well, that's a fiery dart from Satan. Do you really think there's a God? If there is he trustworthy for your future? Can I trust in God? You know, look around you. There's wars and there's people dying, and can you trust a God like that? Can you put your future into a God like that? And then you don't have to be under authority. You know, we're all equal with God. You can do your thing, and I don't have to submit to my parents. I don't have to submit to my leaders. I don't have to submit to my husband. The list will go on. And if we try to fight those fiery darts on our own, and we start dwelling on those things, it can destroy us. And so we need to put on the whole armor of God. So when a fiery dart comes to me and the thought that nobody cares about us, you know, we can look at Scripture, sit down and read if that's all it takes. Or we can look at our lives, you know, are we trying to seek approval of the people or are we trying to seek approval of God? And if we're trying to seek of the approval of the people, yeah, we'll have those feelings and we'll dwell on them. And the next thing you know, we'll just walk away and believe the lie that Satan has put into our lives. Satan is a liar and wants us to serve him. He makes us believe that we can find pleasure and fulfillment in life outside of Christ. And he can persuade you in that. That if you would just, you know, follow me, you'd have all the friends you want to have, and you can have acceptance, and you wouldn't be weird, and, you know, you can wear red hair, and it'd be fine, and put earrings in your nose, and, you know, you wouldn't be weird. But he's a liar. In all reality, he does not care about you. In all reality, he hates God. And he hates anything that has to do with God. So if you put your life in God, he's going to turn against you and work on you until he has destroyed you. That's why we are to resist with God's armor and not our own. So take on faith. Believe who he is. Firmly believe that God is God. And as we go through life and those things come in our lives with fiery darts, we can say, God is God. And I firmly believe that God is God, even though life here doesn't look that way. I have totally faith in God. And I totally know who God is. It's true. And I believe it. And I want to live righteously as he is righteous. I want to live holy as he is holy. That's my desire. So when a fire darts come in, enjoy it. Pleasure. Have fun doing it. We say, no. That's not what God would want. I want to do what God wants. And I want to live with that in my life. And use the word of God to conquer those thoughts. Let's stand for a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank you for giving us the weaponry to fight against the fiery darts that Satan throws at us. We know that there are so many things in life that we wonder sometimes, what is truth? So help us to look at those things and if whether it appeals to us in our lives, but look at it whether it's true, whether it lines up with your scripture, whether it lines up to your teaching, who you are, your righteousness. I pray for each one here this morning that you would bless them in their lives when these thoughts come into their mind to try to destroy their message. I just pray that you would give them the armor of God protection on them and that they'll be able to feel or to put to practice the armor that you have given us. So we just want to pray for your blessing on us as we travel home. Just give us safety and help us to be able to get to our homes without too much problems. And just bless today. We thank you for the beauty of nature, and we thank you how snow is always a reminder of the purity and the holiness of you. So we just pray for your blessing, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
In the Christian hymnal, song number 448, number 448.
The power of his might on earth. Thank you for that message, Dwayne. Appreciated that. It's important to be reminded of some of these truths that we know are in God's Word, and sometimes we don't apply them like we should. A couple of thoughts that I had when he was sharing there was the fact that he reminded us a couple of times to put on all the armor. Sometimes it's easy to say, well, I'll just have faith. We forget about truth, or truth, forget about faith, and those types of things. And so it's important that we put it all on. And that shield of faith, I was thinking about when he was sharing about those different darts coming from different directions. The thing about faith, that a shield, is you move it to where it's necessary at the time. If something's coming from this direction, a soldier wouldn't hold a shield this way. It would be of no value. And so faith is designed to deal with the situation that's at hand. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So it goes back to that truth that he talked about, and that is the first thing that's listed there, truth. So if truth is found in the Word of God, and if we don't go there first, then really our faith will be misaligned and our shield won't be where it needs to be when the dart comes anyway. And so it won't work. And a lot of those darts that he shared, maybe you have some in your life that weren't even mentioned, but you know what they are. And so let's put on the whole entire armor that God has supplied for us, because we are in a battle. And sometimes it feels a little like hand-to-hand combat. And if we're going to have a sword, it's probably because things get kind of that way sometimes. But fortunately, we have the Word of God, and we can have faith in those other things that are mentioned too. So thank you, and let's put it to practice. Let's stand for a closing prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you right now for the fact that you have given us your word, and in your word is truth, and we can apply that in our lives, and we can have faith in you because you are the only wise God, our Savior. You are our creator and sustainer of all things. So Lord, thank you for that, and that we can place our faith in you, and help us to do that. Help us to be in your word so we know truth and we understand truth, so that when those darts come, we can have that faith that's based on your word. And so Lord, just pray that you bless Dwayne for the message this morning. Help us to apply it. And Lord, I pray too that you would watch over us as we go to our homes. We ask for your safety and for safety of others that are out and about today. And Lord, thank you that we have homes that we can go to, unlike many people in the world. Thank you that we have homes, and homes that keep us sheltered from the weather. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.